we come and we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to freely preach your word.
Thank you.
And I pray, Father, that your anointing would be upon Pastor John as he ministers here today. Lord, may we be challenged by these words. Lord, may they motivate us. As we sang that last song, you know, that we want to be set on fire. I want that soul set on fire. Use your word as that match today to set us on fire. Bless these words, Father. We give you thanks, praise, and honor. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you know that that's exactly what I've been speaking about, has been looking at the fact that God wants a fervent fire burning inside of every one of us. John the Baptist told us in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus himself told us in Luke 12:49, I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Why? Why is this fire so important? What's so important about it? Well, Jesus knew that without the fire of the Holy Spirit in us, we could never carry on the work that he started. We wouldn't have that ability. We wouldn't be able to do our part to build the church. We wouldn't have the power to, you know, to advance the kingdom of God. It just wouldn't be there with us. Jesus also knew that for this to happen, he had to die. I'm sure that was not like a fun thought in his mind, how I wish this fire were already kindled, but at the same time he's thinking, and in his mind he's saying, yeah, that means I got to die. I got to go to that cross. That's a heavy load to be carrying for somebody, you know? But we do know, of course, that he did finish the work. He was hoping there was maybe another way, but Father, nevertheless, your will be done. I'm going to that cross because you told me. So, a little bit later on, after he died, was resurrected, he showed himself to the apostles, and he told them in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2:1, we see the culmination of that, where it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Filled the whole house. You know, we always think of it just coming in and just like a little bit of fire coming in. It says it filled the whole house. Something powerful. Something dynamic, something strong, something from God. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated from that fire. All this fire is around them, and then all of a sudden, these tongues of fire come over them and rested on each one of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is where the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, was unleashed on God's people. And the whole world, because of that, was turned upside down. This was God's plan from the very beginning. This wasn't some kind of afterthought. This wasn't a mistake. This wasn't a nice little addendum. This was God's plan. To pour out His Spirit. To pour out that fire inside of us. God wants this fire burning in every one of us. Romans 12:11 takes it a step further where it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God wants us to be zealous in keeping the fire going. Now, what does he mean by zealous? What does zeal mean? It means to be eager or enthusiastic, to put forth a determined effort that compels us to action. That's zeal. And he's saying, be zealous for that fervent fire. Be enthusiastic about it. Be determined. Do whatever action is necessary to get that fire going, to keep it going. And the fervor we looked at before, that's when we say the fire, the fervor of that fire, it means something. When something, there's a fervor to it, it means something that's like a boiling pot of water. There's bubbling. It's excited. It's boiling. It's passionate. It's extremely hot. It's burning. Burning with intense heat. Fire. That's what this fervent fire is all about. And that's the fire that God wants burning in us. Hebrews 12:29 tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Remember that bush that Moses saw? That bush was burning and burning. It didn't burn up. It wasn't destroyed. It didn't disappear. But it was consumed by fire. And that's what God wants us to be like. Consumed by fire. He wants us to be like a burning bush inside. And He wants this fire to burn up anything that is not of Him. The stuff that's not of Him. He talks, and there's a scripture that talks about how there'll be a fire and it'll burn up the chaff. And you know what the chaff is? When you look up the definition of chaff, we talked about this Wednesday night at home meeting, it's the debris. It's the excess part, the wheat. You have the kernels of wheat, and they would throw up the wheat on the threshing floor, and the chaff would just blow away in the wind because it was useless. It wasn't any good to them. They wanted the real wheat. And it tells us in the Word that the chaff is burned up, and God wants this excess stuff, this stuff that is not of Him, this stuff that tries to get in front of Him. And we know that happens. Stuff that's not bad in itself, it's just excess, it's just normal stuff. But it gets in front of God. It starts to take His place, and God says, oh, burn it up. If it gets in front of me, burn it up. Bring it back. Step away from that. If it's taken away His place from being number one, we don't want it there. Instead, He wants in its place the fire that fills us with a passion for Him. That's what God wants. We also saw that this fire, we can never let this fire go out. God doesn't ever want us to let the fire go out. As Spirit-filled Christians, we become something special to God, something set apart, holy unto God. And in fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that we are a temple dedicated to Him. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. See, our body is a temple. Our heart is the altar. So we're told in the law, in the Old Testament, we're told in the law how that God expected the fire in His temple to be cared for. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, it says, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Now that fire was symbolic of the fire that's now in us. And we're now this living temple. That was a temple built of stone and you know, mortar or whatever, however they put it up. But it was symbolic. It was a shadow of the things to come. And now we are the temple. And God lives in us by His Spirit. And God doesn't want this fire in us going out. So we have to regularly examine ourselves. We're told that in the Scriptures, to examine ourselves. And then we need to check and make sure that this fire inside of us is still burning. That it's still lit. It's still on fire. We have to make sure we don't get lulled into this comfortable stage of lukewarmness. And I'm telling you, it's across the land. You think it's bad here in Europe, the fire's almost out. I mean, there are new fires that are starting up. There's a whole new movement of God, but the old traditional fire of God, that one's almost out. Thank God that He never lets, there's always a remnant. He never lets the fire, God doesn't let the fire go out. Somewhere or other, He's always starting new fires. It's amazing how God does it. So there is now an underground movement all across Europe where this fire is starting to be stoked again and burned again, and you won't find it in most of the mainline churches. The government there has abandoned God in almost most of the European countries. Now Hungary, I don't know if you follow the news, but Hungary is actually welcoming Christians from all over Europe and the Middle East. Hungary's going to be blessed. I don't know if anybody in here has got any Hungarian in them, but I'll tell you what, there's some good things going on over there in Hungary. They're hungry for God. So we have to make sure that we don't get lulled into this lukewarm, lackadaisical kind of an attitude, where all we do are the duties that love requires. We get so carried away by doing those duties, by doing our habits, by doing our routines, that we forget the experience of getting close to God, of being intimate with God, of falling in love with God and being on fire for Him. And God's concerned about this with His people. We can become like the Ephesians who did so many things right. God commended them. Oh, you did this right, you did that right, you did that right, but I got this against you. And He put it in His Word as a warning for them, obviously, but for all of us to see for all time, so that we ourselves would also recognize the danger of lukewarmness, of lackadaisical attitudes. Revelations 2, 4, and 5 says, after He tells them all these good things, He says, yet I hold this against you. Uh-oh. How'd you like to have somebody come up to you on your job and they say, Nikki, you're doing a great job here. I really like the way you're handling this, you're handling that, yet I got a real problem with this area. And right away you're thinking, oh my God, am I going to get fired? What's the matter? You know? What are they going to say to me? Wouldn't you sort of freak out a little bit when they said that, yet I hold this against you? I would. And so God says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Remember the height from which you have fallen. So much so that He says, repent. That means He considers that pulling away from that intense first love, like sin. That's sin. Repent or turn away and do the things you did at first. We talked about that on Wednesday, and I asked Donna Cook, I said, so Donna, do you remember when you first got saved? And she goes, yeah, I do. And I says, well, what was it like? And she answered I thought I was going to go around and ask everybody, you know, like, what did you get? What did she told it all. She said, oh man, I couldn't wait to get in the Word. I couldn't wait to get with God. I wanted to pray. I wanted to worship. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And yeah, that was where we were when we first got saved. And God's saying, remember that? Do you remember that? That's where I want you to be. I want that fire in you. We have to remember that a fire won't burn forever on its own. It takes time. It takes effort to get a fire burning right brightly. You know, sometimes it's a lot of work. I use those little fire starters. They work great. But that's exactly what God is calling us to do, to build up this fire. Last week we looked at some of the important things that we can do to keep this fire going. And one of them was what that scripture just talked about. Remember what we did at first. Think about it. Remind ourselves. I always think of David when he was all depressed one time, and it says he went off alone and he encouraged himself by thinking about the good things that God had already done in his life. Sometimes we need to do that, don't we? We need to think about what has God done for us. And if we take the time, that's why sometimes when good things happen or when we get a word or different things happen, sometimes it's good to make a memorial. Like in the Old Testament, God always told them, you know, put some stones here. Build an altar. Do this, have this feast, and do it every year regularly for forever. Do this, do that. We can journal. We can write a card. I have a drawer full of cards that people have written to me that when something has happened good in their life, if I was in any way involved with it or just words of encouragement or different things like that, I got this whole drawer stacked about that big full of cards. Every once in a while, I just take them out. And I tell you, you get encouraged. You start thinking, yeah, this is good. Go back. Get back to where we once belonged. Get back, Giorgio. Remember that? We also looked at other things like worship, prayer, reading God's word, serving other people, fellowship, and of course, constantly being filled with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit. Because that's where that fire, all these things, they all add onto this fire. They all stir up the fire. They stoke the fire. It's like throwing another log in. So we got into all that last week, and if you weren't here, you can get that CD or you can even listen to it online. Today I want to look at some of the ways that this fire works in our life. What does this fire do for us? Some of the ways it blesses us, and also how this fire can actually bless others too. The fire that's in us can be a blessing to other people. So how does this fire work in our life? Well, first off, we got to realize that fire is a powerful force. It really is. I remember Carol and I were in Kentucky one time, and we were going up to this Lookout Mountain. And as we were walking up this long, it's like a cement walkway going way up this mountain. It took quite a while to walk up there. And all around us, all the trees were burnt. It was nothing but burnout trees, at least in that area. It wasn't a whole, but there had been a bad forest fire there. When those forest fires are happening in California, they happen all over the place where there's lots of forest, especially when it's hot and dry. And those forest fires, man, they've destroyed homes. They kill people. They destroyed families. I mean, they're powerful, powerful things. They can be a force for destruction, or fire can be a source for good. I remember when I was a firefighter, I saw the destructive side of fire. Houses burned down. Businesses destroyed. Livelihoods that were destroyed, cars, even people that were burned beyond recognition. When I worked at Great Lakes Steel, I saw the other side of fire. I worked in the coke ovens for a while, and you know, we took this intense heat and turned coal into coke, and then the coke was used to build an even hotter fire. And they would use that, this really hot fire, to burn and boil the iron ore. And then out of that iron ore, all the junk would come off, and out of that would come pure molten steel. If you're ever driving down Jefferson from downriver, and you're driving along the river, you'll see this bright light. I can remember, even 100 feet away, you can feel the heat. It's hot. It's powerful. And they make these steel ingots, and then, you know, they turn them into our cars eventually, and washing machines and all these different things. So in that sense, fire is good. It builds. It creates. It helps to create. It brings power. It empowers. Our power companies, they use fire. I mean, to build up the steam and burn the coal. In the old days, steam engines were really popular. And they would have a firebox, and they would throw in wood or they would throw in coal and into this firebox, and the fire would get hotter and hotter, and they'd shovel in more coal or throw in more wood. And the hotter the fire got, the more it would heat up the water. And the water would produce the steam, and it would be, you know, inside this boiler with, you know, hoses going out and lines going out, and the pressure would build and build and build, and it would start to pump the pistons. And then the wheels would turn, and then the locomotive, the engine would start driving down the tracks because of a fire. Pretty ingenious that somebody thought of that. When you think about it, the fire, the power of that fire caused the expansion of the country. It brings goods all across the country, all across the world. Fire does that. Or it used to do that. Now they got diesel and everything else. When God's fire is burning in us, when it's burning hot, it empowers us. Just like the fire in those engines. It keeps us going straight down the track. It makes our life useful. Just like those locomotives. It enables us to, it gives us the energy to do the work of God. The things that we've been called, that we've been created to do. The passion for God, this passion that we're talking about, this fire, should cause us to make every effort to further God's purposes, to do His work, to do His will, to make the most of every opportunity to seek and to build the kingdom of God. That's our job. And so God gives us the fuel, the fire inside of us. That's why His plan is so important. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. We can't build the kingdom of God with our flesh. We can't empower ourselves to build God's kingdom with food, with water. We need fire. God's fire. If God's fire is burning in us, it will overcome the natural inertia, the laziness of our flesh. It takes a lot of force sometimes to get something that's not moving to start moving, doesn't it? Doesn't it take a lot to get you up off your chair? You know, I go to LA Fitness and work out, and I don't like to go in the middle of the evening because it's jam-packed. So I try to go early, like at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock if I can do it. I usually only can get there on Monday or maybe sometimes on Friday. And then if I miss that, I don't like to go. You can't even get on the machine. So then I have to go like at 9 o'clock. And so I'm waiting until 9 o'clock. And as 9 o'clock is getting closer and closer, I'm feeling less and less like going. You know, I'm starting to wear down, you know. The fire of the day, the energy of that day is dissipating. It's leaving. I got to push myself. I do it. I go, but there's been plenty of times when I haven't. It's not easy to get up off that chair at 9 or even 9:30 at night and say, okay, I'm going to go work out, when you can just as soon just start getting ready to settle down and lay down for the night, you know? But if God's fire is burning in us, God's fire will overcome that laziness. It will overcome that inertia of our flesh. And instead, we will have this unnatural, supernatural desire, this passion to serve God, even when we don't feel like it. That's why we need it. Because truthfully, our flesh will never. Our flesh doesn't want to build God's kingdom. Our flesh wants to build this kingdom. So God came up with a way And he says, I'm going to send you this gift, my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to put fire in you. That's why John said, we're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's why Jesus said, I wish this fire was already kindled. I wish there were Christians everywhere already. Once that fire is burning in us, we're going to accomplish great things. Once we get up off our derrieres, we can accomplish great things. And this same fire will also increase. Another thing that it does is this fire will increase the power of God's love working inside of us and through us. This powerful, passionate love will enable us to serve God and others beyond any natural ability. This love that is superpowered by the Holy Spirit is the same love that caused God to send His Son to this world. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. It was because of His love. It's the same love that caused Jesus to willingly go to the cross. He loved His Father and He wouldn't disobey Him, and He loved us. That was the joy that was set before Him, us. Love is the greatest motivator of all things. Love is a greater motivator than the law. Love is a greater motivator than fear or duty or anything else. Nothing is a stronger, more powerful motivator than love. And God's love gives us the ability to lay down our life for God or for someone else, just like Jesus did. And this fire stokes that love. This fire builds that love. When this love is in us and fervent or on fire, we can be stronger and more successful for God than we ever thought possible. You will be able to do things that you would normally not even attempt to do. But we still have to push ourselves a little. We still have to do it. Faith without works is dead. God's saying, yeah, there's love, but love is not just a feeling, it's also a doing. Love compels us to action. God's love can give us a supernatural ability. It's another thing it does, to see inside someone else's heart. To see what's going on. Do you remember when Jesus said, knowing what was in their heart, and Jesus knowing what they were thinking. Remember those scriptures? Happened all the time. He knew what was going on in their heart. He knew what was on their mind. There have been many, many times where I have been praying for someone, counseling someone, witnessing to someone, when all of a sudden God reveals something to me. Reveals something, He reveals His, sometimes it's just His love for that person. And I get this powerful rush of love for that person. It just, like, it overwhelms me. I can't hardly handle it. I mean, it just, I'm undone. I'll be sitting there talking with somebody, and anyone who's been in with me knows, I'll just be sitting there talking, all of a sudden I'm crying. And it's not because somebody just died. It's not because, you know, something terrible happened. It's because I feel this love of God. And it does something to you when you feel the love of God. And my heart then breaks for that person. And He lets me see their hurt, or He lets me see their pain or their problem. And oftentimes He'll give me a word to speak to them. Just bam, all of a sudden, they're okay, this is what you need to do. Because God wants to help us. God is there for us. And I know it's not me. Believe me, I know it's not me. It's the power of God's love that just came through me as I put myself in that place to be used by God. And every single one of us can do that. Every one of us can do that. It's God who turns up the flame. We throw in the fire, but He's the one who makes the fire. He's the one who causes there to be fire. Just like we plant the seed, we water, but who causes the growth? God. We throw in the wood, who causes the fire to get hotter? God. I'm just a vessel. You're just a vessel. But we have to be a willing vessel. I get blessed in the process. I mean, I'm crying, and I used to hate it. I used to try everything in my power to stop it. I always felt like an idiot, you know? Especially in front of a bunch of people. I still try to hold it back sometimes because I can't even talk. But I've actually, over the years, I've sort of learned to keep talking even though it's happening. And somehow, I don't know, God's just, I guess He doesn't want me to shut up right away. He just wants me to keep going, but still gives me that feeling, you know? This love also gives us the ability to clean up our own act. When we realize the hurt or the pain that we cause God, you know, when we let Him down. Man, remember how Peter felt? That rooster crowed 3 times. He looks over and Jesus is looking right at him. I told you this would happen. Braggart Peter, you know, great guy, but a blowhard, man. Just somebody who's always like jumping and, that ain't going to happen. I love you. I'll follow you to the end of the earth, you know. Peter, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to deny me 3 times. No, Lord, never. This will never happen. And then it happened, just like God said. And we've been in the same place as Peter. We've let God down. And then when we realize what we did, I hope, just like Peter, we feel that sorrow. We let God down. And the reason that we will feel that is because of our love for God. If we don't feel anything, we better check that fire. I still remember one time when I was about 16 or 17. I know you won't believe this, but I got in trouble with the police. My dad had to pick me up from jail. And we were on the way home and we're driving. It was all the way out in Oakland County. I was just a kid, wasn't even driving. I was hitchhiking in the middle of the night, going somewhere way up north to go see a band play. And I was supposed to be somewhere else, of course. You know, Mom, I'm going to sleep over at Sony. And he picked me up and he clearly had no idea what to do with me. And he started to talk, and then he started to cry. When he started crying, saying, I don't know what to do with you, son, that broke my heart more than any punishment ever could have done. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to feel that hurt, that pain because of our love for Him. And when the Holy Spirit brings what's called conviction, it's like our conscience, sort of, but this is from God. Our conscience helps us, but it's really God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us. And we just know, like, oh my God, what did I do? Another thing that this love does is it draws us closer to God. It draws us to want to discover more about the one that we love. Isn't that what happens when we fall in love with somebody? Don't we want to know everything about them? You remember? You remember that, Taylor? You want to know everything about Cody, right? When you started going out with him. I'm sure Cody wanted to know everything about you, even though you guys knew each other. Now it's different all of a sudden, right? And this causes us to, this love, if this fire is burning in us, will want us to know more and more about Christ. We'll want to know everything about Him. And it begins to feed on itself because God's Word increases the fire. And then the fire causes us to want to read God's Word. And it starts, it ignites this fire, and then the fire causes the Word, and it starts a cycle, a pattern, and it just begins to increase. So this fire will cause us to want to get into the Word every chance we get. And it will cause us to want to be with other Christians every chance we get. And if there's a real fire in us, it's going to stir up every godly desire. Every godly desire, because it's feeding on itself. It's like the more wood I put in a fire, the bigger the fire gets. But then to keep that fire going at that level, I got to keep putting in more wood. Go through so much wood. Another thing fire does is it enlightens us. The more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more fire that we have, the more love, then the more of God's heavenly wisdom is poured out. See, that passion for God causes us to run after Him, and as we run after Him, He gives us wisdom. So God's fire then enlightens us. It opens up our spiritual eyes. It opens up our heart to see through the deceptions of this world. And then His Word becomes real to us. It becomes alive. The Holy Spirit, if you remember, that fire in us, reminds us of the things that God said to us. And so it gives us insight. Opens us up. Another thing this fire does is it encourages us. We'll feel God's power flowing through us and in us. And we know then, when that passion is there, we know that God is there. We sense His presence on a regular basis, and it gives us the ability then to keep pressing on, to keep fighting the good fight, to keep going no matter what, even when it seems hard to go on. Because we know. Because we know, because that fire in us tells us that God is there. It encourages us on to victory. This fire also brings peace to us, a peace that passes all understanding, because we know that God is working all things out to our good. And we know that we are walking in His purpose, because that fire's there. And we know how much He loves us because that fire is there. And so that gives us confidence. And that confidence, that reality that we're there with God, that He's here with us, that we're walking with Him, that gives us peace. Fire also gives us joy. In His presence is the fullness of joy. You ever hear that? Right in the Word. We get into His presence and we feel His presence. We feel His power. It begins to enliven us. It brings fire. I could go on and on, but basically, when God's fire is burning in us, when it's burning brightly in us, it brings every good thing of God. And God, remember, is the giver of every good gift. It brings all the good things of God into focus. We recognize, we see, we understand, we get hold of those things, and we see the reality of God in our life. And then there's one last thing. When God's fire is burning brightly in us, and we're on fire, and we're excited about Jesus, something happens. We become a beacon. Almost like a lighthouse sending out that beacon. You know, that light. Beep, beep, beep. The ships that are passing by in the fog. And how many people in our world are in a fog? Isn't that true? There's so much garbage in the world. There are so many lies. There's so many deceptions. There's so many false philosophies. There's so many different ways. It's like there's a fog in the world. And so we become this beacon that is shining brightly. And the people that are in that fog can see that light. They'll see it in us. And there's no greater witness in this world than someone who is in love with and someone who is excited about Jesus Christ and led by His Holy Spirit. We can't just be a nut about it, running around with our head in the clouds, shouting hallelujah. That's like a steam engine that the pipe came apart and steam's just blowing off a bunch of hot air. That's not what we want to be. We want to be useful. But somebody who is excited about Jesus, has a passion for Jesus, has a testimony, a witness in their heart, knows enough about the Word, and we don't have to know a whole lot to be a good witness. I mean, the more we know, the better, that's for sure. I'm not saying we don't want to know, but we don't have to wait till we know everything, because we'll never know everything. All we need is a little bit in our testimony to share that with a passion as we are led by the Holy Spirit. One live coal, one burning log can catch more coal or more logs on fire. Most people in the world are looking to follow someone. They're looking to follow a leader who is excited, who is passionate, and who knows where they are going. If you know somebody, think about it. If you know somebody who's a great investor, say a Warren Buffett style, or somebody who's made a fortune, and it seems like they're Midas, everything they touch is turned to gold, and you're at a point in your life where you want to invest a little bit, and he says, hey, you want to work with me? I'll help you invest. What would you say? Yeah, man. You'll help me? I'll take that help. People, they run to somebody who knows what they're doing and has a passion for doing that and is right. And so when we have this fire in us, this passion, this excitement, this enthusiasm, and we're led by the Spirit, we'll be right. And people will be drawn to you. People will be drawn to you. When we pattern our lives after Christ and we live by His Word, when we walk in His ways and we're passionate about Him, people will be attracted to us. Not everyone. Believe me, not everyone. Some people will be repelled by you, just as they were repelled by Christ. But those who God is calling know that it's good to have someone to turn to. They have to have some way of knowing, and how will they know unless someone speaks, it says in the Word. How will they know unless someone speaks or shares or shows them the way of God? My wife and I, we looked for a year trying to find God. We knew there was something out there. We went to all these idiotic things we did. We read all these books. We were doing all these things trying to find God. And nobody ever came around. Somebody was probably supposed to. I would hope, but nobody did. Maybe we're that somebody where we work. Maybe we're that somebody where we live. So we need to be that fire, that beacon of light. We need to be one of those Christians that will be hard to miss, and not because we're weird. I don't want you to ever be a weird, flamboyant, bigger than life kind of person that's like annoys everybody. That's not what we're called to be. Just real people. Real people that have a passion for Jesus, that follow him and are really led by his Spirit. And the darker it is, the brighter your light's going to shine. That's the way it works. We're supposed to be that shining light. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Can't get much clearer than that. Let your light shine that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the more fervent, the brighter that light is in us, the more we are walking in God's way and doing the things that God calls us to do, the more people around us will be able to see that and somehow be attracted to that. This is how we please God. By fanning that flame within us. By stoking up that fire. And letting others seeing it burn inside of us. Remember, this fire was God's plan from the very beginning. This isn't something I dreamed up. It's not something that, you know, some church here or there dreamed up. This is God's plan. Having God's fire burning inside of you is the best thing that could ever happen to you on this earth. Don't forget what 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Our heart is the altar of that temple, where that fire is supposed to be burning." And if you remember, I read that scripture in Leviticus 6:12. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood. A little further down, it says, "The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." That's what God was showing us in that passage, because really it was a shadow of what's happening now with the Holy Spirit. The actual temple is now us. The actual altar is now in us. So this is now the temple with a fire. So I hope all of us will never give up. And we'll always remember that we are to have this zeal to keep the fire burning. That we never let it go out. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for revealing to us how this plan works. How we can have a passion and a fire for you burning inside of us. How the Holy Spirit can be inside of us, stoking that fire. Lord, I pray that we would all have a passion for you. That we would be that boiling hot, excited, passionate, on fire Christian that you want us to be. Not lukewarm. Lord, I pray that we would be passionate about you. Lord, I pray you would pour out your fire even here this morning on every one of us. That your Holy Spirit would be poured out again right here, right now. That fresh fire would come into our hearts. That we would be stirred now, that we would be stirred later tonight, that we would be stirred up tomorrow morning, throughout the day, tomorrow night, and on. Lord, build in us a holy fire. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for prayer team. Lord God, I pray that you would anoint them, that you would use them for your glory, Lord God, that you would work through them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen, Father.